So this is such a timely topic as Jeb Bush's son, George P. Bush, dropped a hint the other day that his dad may very well run for president in a year and a half. You've been working on this book for some time, looking not at his future plans, but his legacy here in Florida. And you make the argument that Jeb Bush was actually the most powerful governor in Florida history. Why is that?
Yeah, I'd like to say I could see in the future 4 years ago, but I really can't. The reason, and I think a lot of people are asking whether he's going to run or not. They're not asking the question, what might he do? And I think you need to go back and look at his Florida record. And why he was such an important governor, whether you agreed with him or disagreed with him, is that he really brought power to that office. And this goes all the way back to the end of the Civil War. The fact that you didn't have strong governors in the South. And the reason for that, it was a reaction to federal government power. It didn't want strong executives. Mm-hmm. And so constitutions were written really to not give governors much power. We didn't have a lieutenant governor. He had to share power with a large cabinet. There were many commissions. And just when Jeb Bush got elected in 1998, the cabinet was shrunk due to a constitutional amendment. He also brought in, even though there was already a Republican legislature, it was the first unified Republican government since Reconstruction after the Civil War. And then with his name, and then, of course, his brother was the sitting president a year after he was elected, all of that gave him tremendous power.
And he used it. He remade the state, you argue.
Yeah. You're looking at a complete agenda. And why I think it's so interesting is that we look up in Washington now, and obviously you've got different parties controlling different parts of government, but people argue there's nothing getting done. You can't argue that with Jeb Bush. I mean, it was a huge agenda. Education, tax incentives, tax cuts is a wide sweeping agenda, and that's what we try to look at in the book.
Education in particular, he was successful at pushing through a series of changes. And you make the argument that his executive prowess was considerable. What's his legacy when you look at how he remade the state?
I think, number one, that he did make the governor's office very powerful. And that's important maybe for future governors. I don't think Crist and Scott have necessarily followed that model, but the potential's there. Number two, all of these policies we are now seeing the effects of. And I think it's a very mixed record. If particularly with education, all of this testing has become controversial, not only in Florida, but nationwide.
Right.
But I think conservatives have to remember the reason for the testing was not the test itself. It was the accountability from the testing. And so the idea that school choice would come from the testing results. In other words, if a school didn't do particularly well, that might open it up to vouchers or charter. And so I think school choice is really what his legacy was in Florida. And of course, that's been tremendously controversial.
And the irony is, it could affect his ability to mount a successful run for the presidency. Here's a guy who's pretty conservative, as you argue, more conservative than perhaps his persona plays out in the eyes of the public and the press. But he's not conservative enough for party activists on immigration or on Common Core state standards for schools.
Right. I think immigration is clearly the issue. He's separated from the Tea Party wing of the party, and he's going to have to defend himself on that. I think on education, he's going to talk more about school choice than testing. And I think he can make an argument there. That's going to be interesting. But the heart of really his conservatism is his social record. It was very conservative. He called himself the most pro-life governor of modern times. The Terri Schiavo controversy, where he intervened in a kind of family dispute with a severely injured woman who was going to be taken off of nutrition.
He went around the court system to intervene personally in the Terri Schiavo case.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue we almost had a constitutional crisis because the courts, both state and federal, kept saying that the husband had the authority to do what he wanted to, And you kept getting all of these different pieces of legislation, both on the state level and the national level. His brother signed a piece of legislation about the Terri Schiavo case. So I think all of that's going to be examined again if he decides to run.
And it looks as though he's leaning towards it. Knowing what you know about this politician, his record in the state, and a look at party politics and where the country is right now, can Jeb Bush make it through the primaries to take on, say, let's presume, Hillary Clinton in the general election?
I think he can, because even though the Tea Party wing is has gotten tremendous publicity, and especially in 2010, really showed up at the polls, really since then has not been the dominant electoral force in the party. We'll see, you know, in a couple of weeks here or a week here. So establishment candidates like Romney and McCain have won out. So I think Bush could do well in the Iowa caucuses because of his social record. His family has generally done well in Iowa. New Hampshire, they haven't done as well, and I think that might be tough for them.
Which is ironic considering their base in Maine.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But they haven't done well there at all. I think New Hampshire voters really like to be independent, and, mm-hmm. and so I think the Bush name turns them off. I think the key for him is surviving to get to the southern states. And if Bush can't win in the southern states, he's not going to win the nomination, but there doesn't seem to be that many southern candidates lining up unless you consider Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio.
You also kind of argue that the Bush brothers have, in a sense, become almost a mirror image of the Kennedy brothers in terms of their influence on their party, their name recognition, just the footprint they're leaving. Is the Bush name, if Jeb Bush goes in 2016, is the Bush name a help or a hindrance, given the mixed reviews that George Bush had while president?
Yeah, I think it's both. Obvious, if his name were Smith, I'm not sure we'd be talking about him being one of the leading candidates. And I think he's resigned himself to, I mean, in every campaign that the Bushes have gone through, this issue has come up. Because, you know, their grandfather was a senator and so forth. So they've dealt with this issue before. They'll deal with it again. And I would argue that the Bushes, again, whether you disagree or agree, have had more of an impact on our political system than
the Kennedys.
If you look at their electoral success. Now, culturally, maybe the Kennedys have, but in terms of winning elections and having power, the Bushes have a better record than the Kennedys.
And in terms, as you write, of having their vision implemented. Jeb Bush, you're saying, really more than any other governor in modern times, was successful at implementing a sweeping conservative vision.
He really was. And if you look at all the different parts of his agenda, and again, what we've kind of gone back to in Tallahassee is, you know, the governor will propose, but the legislature has been the driving force, I think, during the last two administrations. It was completely opposite under Jeb Bush. And of course, Florida's had a long history of legislators being powerful.
If let's play out two scenarios.
Okay.
Rick Scott wins re-election. How does that affect Jeb? And if Charlie Crist pulls out a victory, how does that affect Jeb?
I'm not sure governors really control.
You don't think it'll make a difference?
I think it helps a little bit. But again, the general election makeup of the electorate is completely different from the midterm. And, you know, Jeb Bush didn't help a lot in 2000 when we had the close race. I think he helped a lot in 2004 because of his record of leading during hurricanes. So I think it's a mixed up question in terms of or a mixed result of how governors impact how presidents do in their state.
And the rigors of a national campaign, in the end, here's a guy who may decide, I just don't want to go through that.
Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest hurdle to him deciding is, you know, in this world of Twitter, in this world of immediate reaction, and we take apart every word, is he going to want to put himself through that? And I really think that's what his mother was reacting to when she said no. They're going to have a very interesting Thanksgiving because the father wants him to run. The mother doesn't want him to run. The wife apparently is mixed. So they're going to have to figure all that out.
Conversation over turkey and stuffing. Never boring at any house, but especially not at that one, I guess. And a fascinating book from the always fascinating Matt Corrigan, UNF's own and our analyst. It's Conservative Hurricane, How Jeb Bush Remade Florida. You can get it now online and at Chamberlain's. Look for it. And always great to talk to you, Matt. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, Melissa.